This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dee Dee Smith joins me live in studio. She's with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan and has joined us on occasion for, I guess, the last 3 years with your perspective on what's going on. Yesterday was the biggest event in this ongoing story since the four boards meeting last week. Right. And so what happened yesterday and what was the result?
Well, which was the biggest, the four boards meeting was the biggest event since the day before, which was the public hearing. I mean, we've had a lot of very important meetings. Yesterday was the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority's first board meeting since the four boards meeting and since the public hearing. And they had, I think, five really important topics on their agenda. But what was really interesting about it, Coy, was that there was a moment there that I think was just a preview of what is to come, which was a 3-3 vote, with the tiebreaker being the citizen representative, Mike Gaffney. So there were three city votes and three county votes, and three city votes no and three county votes yes to continue the design of the earthen dam. And this is like a $800,000 or $900,000 ticket item. And the city was saying, no, our resolution was such that we wanted to look at a cheaper option, one of which was to build on the existing dam, should we go with the dam option, and also the dredging. And the county was going, well, we don't want to hold it up. And poor Mike Gaffney, you could see, it was just like this moment where he was going to have to break the tie. And instead, he asked for more discussion. And the resolution was that they withdrew the motion, and Alamo County Service Authority agreed to pay for the design this next month until such time as their next board meeting, in which case they hope to, Gary O'Connell, who's the director who sits on the Ravana board, hopes to convince the Alamo County Service Authority to pay the whole thing, which is the whole $800,000 to further the design of a 42-foot earthen dam.
Now, what does this mean?
I know.
What does this mean? That the county and the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority are figuring out a way to move forward with that big dam and pipeline plan and work around the city's wishes?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. It really was an insult to the city's resolution. And it is a way to just keep going with the original plan. It doesn't really mean anything because the design isn't building the dam. But it is a huge amount of money. I mean, where does the Alamo County Service Authority get $800,000 just in case we decide that the 42-foot earthen dam is the right decision? That's a lot of money.
Have they told the ratepayers in the county yet that they're authorizing
exactly.
the spending of this kind of money?
Exactly. And what in truth they authorized yesterday was $50,000 in the next month. That's a teacher, Coy. They're cutting teachers in the county. And we're talking.
So what they authorized yesterday was just, let's just keep this going. We'll spend $50,000 more just to keep this going. And these are the group, I guess you could say, led by Ken Boyd and Tom Frederick, really pushing this dam and pipeline plan. It's interesting. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. Phone lines are open, 977-1070. I find it interesting, politically, that the proponents of the dam and pipeline plan are very intent on keeping this sense of urgency, emergency, speed, full speed ahead, stop learning, we just want to do it. Let's just do it. Let's just spend the money. Even though we know now for a fact that they are advocating the bigger, the big government, the more expensive plan, the one that's going to cost us more money in the long run.
Everybody really pretty much admits is oversized. I mean, even Ken Boyd said, and he was quoted in the paper today, as saying, well, so our demand doesn't look like it's going to be what we projected, but who cares? It could take us for 100 years. There's a little problem with that, and it's illegal. The state has said you cannot plan for more than 50 years. They don't want you hoarding water. And
so Ken Boyd now is on the record saying,
exactly.
Hey, maybe we are building for a 100-year plan. Let's go ahead and do it anyway. I don't care how much it costs. Let's just do it and hurry up and do it fast, fast, fast.
Right.
And yet the state that said you're not allowed as a municipality to go out and build these huge public work projects that project 50 years, past 50 years in the future.
And right. And the other problem for, ironically, for a conservative Republican to be pushing an oversized plan is that it that the water demand is what is supposed to pay for this. And so how does Ken Boyd think that he's going to pay for this if our water sales are going down? And now I'll tell you what I suspect he thinks is how he thinks they're going to pay for it is with connection fees. And connection fees are predictable, I grant you, sort of over the
Which
long run.
Which are what exactly?
That's growth. That's growth. That's development. Every time a new house, a new business, whatever is
taps
hooked
into
up,
that right. new infrastructure.
There's a fee associated with that.
Yeah.
And but these are we're talking about millions of dollars in annual payments to pay for this plan. And so you would have to count on and quite frankly then encourage development over the next 30 to 40 to 50
years. Well, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy right. that you build this new infrastructure that we pay, the ratepayers, most of whom are in the city, pay to create this infrastructure that will necessitate stronger and faster growth in the county. It will right. require it because you have to right. figure out how to finish paying right. for it.
And you would have to, you'll have to adjust your rates for hookups to this huge annual debt payment. So it's, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a finance person, but it seems to me it's very anti-business because you're counting on the business paying for this, if that's in fact what they're counting on to pay their this debt.
Yeah, and well, I'm not a lawyer, but I do I do consider myself an observer of politics and a commentator, and it just seems to me the most unconservative, unsmall government, unfiscally responsible thing to do, and it blows my mind. And yet, we're this is what we're seeing from the county working with the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority. We saw the same thing over the garbage debate, a
exactly.
very anti-market, anti-business approach that they finally woke up and realized, uh-oh, we're really going against our supposed conservative principles here, and we're screwing business. We're screwing the local market. We need to quickly fix this and stop the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority or the Ravana Garbage Board or whatever. You know, I get the right. the letters all screwed up, but you know,
right.
it just doesn't make any sense to me. You're either conservative and you stand for conservative principles, or you're not, and you're doing something else while you're saying you are.
And that's a really good comparison for a couple of reasons. One is that if you look at the Ravana Solid Waste Authority, which let's face it, those are all the same people.
It's the same people.
It's the same people. The executive director, Tom Frederick, is the executive director of both. And what happened is if they did not keep up with the modern technology and, you know, public wishes of how to operate, and the taxpayers ended up subsidizing that, and I believe they still are subsidizing if they don't dissolve
the landfill.
Whole authority. It's not just the landfill. It's also trash pickup.
Yeah.
And both governments—
We're subsidizing that, even though it's been shown that the private marketplace here in Central Virginia can handle it much, much better.
Well, the private companies are taking over the business because they're doing what the people want, which is single stream recycling, et cetera. I mean, not to get into that whole debate.
Yeah, as
but,
Peter Vandalinda, we've talked about that
right,
many times, as
exactly.
he's shown that he can do as a private business owner. And yet we saw Ken Boyd and the garbage folks, their Vanna, what is it again? Their Vanna?
Their Solid Waste
Solid
Authority.
Waste Authority. Gosh, get them so confused.
Our SWA.
They're hiding behind all these letters. But they really fought him tooth and nail. They were going to sue him, and they were going to, and then all of a sudden they woke up and realized,
You know,
and they were asking taxpayers to subsidize a government enterprise that was working against private enterprise.
Exactly. And,
trying to sue them out of business.
And that is what I worry is going to happen with this water issue, is that they're going to get themselves so far into debt that they cannot pay off because they don't have the water sales or the development or however they are planning on paying it off. And our water demand will continue to fall, that the taxpayers will have to bail them out. Because let's face it, they're planning on paying for this through rates. Why is it, Coy, that increase in rates is not comparable to increase in tax? I mean, it's an incredibly regressive way to pay for any project.
Well, it's the same thing with the red light cameras that the county's putting in at Rio Road. It's a tax. It's a hidden tax.
Right.
And Congress, the U.S. Congress, has concluded as much and advised municipalities around the country, you need to go into this knowing that you are taxing your people. And yet we're seeing this supposedly conservative Board of Supervisors in the county, which loves to wear their conservatism on their sleeve. They are, in fact, moving through all these little hidden taxes, but not calling them taxes.
Right.
But we're going to raise your rates over here. We're going to put in a hidden camera over there, whatever.
But raising rates for water, water is a basic necessity of life. It's not like you can choose not to run that red light. And they have a monopoly. I mean, there is no alternative but to use this public water.
Let's invite the listeners into this conversation at 977-1070. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. Bill's waiting very patiently on line one. Bill, you're on Charlotte's Hill right now. Go right ahead. Bill, you with me? Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. Bill, you go right ahead, buddy. Bill, you there? Let's go to Shelley.
Oh, Shelley. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go right ahead, Shelley. You're okay.
I didn't know you'd call me. Yes, hi, Coy. Hi, Dee Dee. My comment, I guess, it just seems to me that, and no one's really saying this, but isn't this sort of a backdoor plan to open up the county for a lot more development? Which I don't think a lot of folks are very excited about. We're kind of wanting to not turn this into Prince William County. And but this huge water supply, it's like, you know, if it's there, then that's one less obstacle to the developers. And I've not heard that really commented on. And I guess my concern is that you've got Mike Gaffney, who is a very nice guy, but it's a little bit like the fox guarding the hen house.
He's a developer.
He
is
a developer. And I just don't hear people talking about that. Is that kind of the elephant in the room, or is nobody really thinking this?
Shelley, it's a great point, and it's one I've tried to put the spotlight on many times on this program, Dee Dee.
Right, and you know, quite frankly, I mean that's true. At the same time, that we are experiencing the growth as projected by the plan, and yet our water use is still going down. It's a very good point, but even if we do have growth, and we will have growth, the whole fact is that our world is changing, and the way we use water is changing, and regardless of growth, our water sales are not going to be like they were back in the 20th
century.
And
the point the city and your group is trying to make is we can still have growth, but it doesn't mean we have to have this huge new water supply infrastructure, and yet, let's return to Shelley's point and just underscore it a moment. The dam and pipeline plan that's advocated by the Chamber of Commerce, by the supposed conservatives in the county, it is the developer's plan, is it not?
Oh, it's definitely pro-development. And, you know, and that's neither here nor there in terms of whether it's the right plan, even given the development that we expect.
You could argue that Dave Norris's city plan is pro-development as well.
Dame Norris's city plan gets us more water faster than the dam and pipeline plan.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith, and Bill is back with us. Bill, sorry, buddy. You go right ahead.
That's quite all right. I was listening to Rick this morning. He was talking about a letter that Ann Malik and Dave Norris received apparently the 1st of August sometime that stated that they really couldn't modify the plan and that the state had permitted certain things to be done. And what is it that the state is saying that we can do?
It's an excellent point. Bill, thank you so much for that question. And Dee Dee, clarify this for us, because there's been some confusion. Some of the proponents of the Dan and Pipeline plan have said, hey, Dave Norris's plan is rah-rah, but we're not allowed to do that anyway.
Well, this is what Bill is referring to is a letter from the DEQ. It was in response to a question by Dave Norris and then chair of the Board of Supervisors,
DEQ,
David Sutzke.
Of course, the Department of Environmental Quality, which is a federal or state?
No, it's a state. It's a state regulatory agency that has issued a permit for this plan. And so this is used a lot. They were asked whether a 13-foot raise in the Ragged Mountain Dam, along with dredging, would satisfy the permit as it's written now. And in fact, they said, no, it won't, but it will satisfy a slightly lower demand, now, which is
So instead of a 50-year plan, it's a 40-year plan.
Exactly. Although, but that's according
to... And what we're learning now is that supposed 50-year plan is actually a 100-year plan.
Exactly. Exactly. The demand is off. And even the study that Rivanna sanctioned, the so-called the Schwartz study, which just recently we looked at the demand, lowered the expectation for that... for the demand under the permit that DEQ issued to somewhere around 16.5 is what they now expect, million gallons per day. The DEQ said, in fact, the 13-foot dam and dredging would satisfy that. So it's a kind of a convoluted argument.
Do we need a new permit?
We need to modify the that permit has to be modified no matter what. No, even if we go with the 2006 plan, the original plan, because they've changed...
The big dam and pipeline plan.
Right, they've changed things enough that the permit will have to be modified.
So even their own permit would have to be modified.
It will. This is not a big deal. And DEQ, I actually met with, my group met with DEQ, and it's a scam. You know, the
whole
idea...
So it's another red herring that the proponents of the dam and pipeline plan are holding up, saying, no, you can't do that... your plan because of what they said. And it's just another red herring. The same thing, the sense of urgency and we must do it now is also a red herring.
Oh, that's absolutely. I mean, you know, and I said it on this program before, and I would like to say it again, is that, look, we had weeks, what was it, two months of drought, and we're still in drought in Virginia, yet we had no drought watch. And that is because we have way more storage supply than we do demand. In other words, demand is that's a weird word, but it's how much water we use on a daily basis. It's the millions of gallons per day. It is so much lower than it was in 2002 because of technology, because of other conservation best practices. I'm not talking about people.
As a culture, as a people, we don't use water like we used to when they originally came up with that plan and when we had the drought of 2002.
Exactly. And we're using at least 20% less than we did in 2002 with about the same storage capacity. So that's, therefore, we didn't have to go into a drought watch. We had plenty of water to get through it.
Dee Dee, I want to play for you a clip. Last week when you were on this program, we had a caller, Randolph Byrd, who called in, who is known locally as a real leading Republican conservative. He called in and had something very interesting to say that I'd like to play again and get your thoughts on. And again, this speaks to the politics of this issue, because I happen to believe that when people start really paying attention to what is happening and what the supposed conservatives in the county are doing in their name that conservatives usually agree with, when they really pay attention, they're going to realize, oh my gosh, I wouldn't support this. So here's Randolph Byrd, a Republican conservative, his thoughts on the on this debate.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Just to preface this, I'm a free market conservative Republican and pro-controlled development kind of guy with a master's degree in environmental science with areas of concentration, geology and limnology about water. Watch dredging go on forever and ever. I got to tell you, the Norse plan is spot on. I will personally call my Republican supervisors who I helped get elected and let them know that and say, hey, you need to support this plan. It conserves our natural resources, conserves money. It couldn't be any better. And just by the way, I've watched all kinds of different dredging projects. You don't have to get so high tech with dredging. Dredging can be a nice low tech item and doesn't have to be that expensive. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I actually will never forget that call. And I think that call is a historic moment in this debate where you have a leading Republican conservative in the county finally stand up and say, hold on, wait a minute.
Right. And I really thank you for the opportunity for me to say thank you to Randolph Byrd, which I didn't get a chance to before, because he is so right. And the Norris plan is the most conservative plan. And I said it before, it's ironic, but it is the fiscally most conservative. It is, from an environmentally point of view, it's the most conservative. And we did actually bring in, actually Richard Lloyd brought in a dredging consultant to talk to us about how simple dredging can be. Just as Randolph Byrd just cited, it doesn't have to be a big, huge, complicated process such as Rivanna has been talking about.
And I truly believe, I think as more, whatever side of the aisle you're on, I think as more people, ratepayers who have to pay for this thing or being asked to pay for it, as they start to pay a little bit more close attention to what is happening here and who's arguing for what, who's a proponent of what, they're going to start seeing what Randolph sees in this.
Right.
Holy cow, what are you doing? I thought you were the small government, fiscally conservative Republican, and yet what we're seeing is we're seeing those people looking for a way to get the public to subsidize business and growth and to
right.
create new infrastructure that will be basically a gift to the developers. At the end of the day,
it's
I mean,
I
don't want to be too simplistic too conspiratorial,
true.
But that's what I'm seeing.
It's really true. And, you know, there's a couple different implications for business in this debate, one of which is that we have some among the highest, and we may have the highest, but we at least have among the highest water rates in the state right now. And one of the arguments that the Ken Boyd and company use is that we need to plan for more business. Well, I'll tell you, there is no business that is going to come into this community that uses a lot of water when they have to pay among the highest water rates in the state. And that's before we've taken on the debt. I mean, those water rates are going to go even higher, and the connection rates. And I mean, it's so anti-business to take on that kind of debt. The other interesting—
Yeah, they're doing it in the name of business.
And then right.
It's
right.
very strange.
I don't think they're really even, you know, thinking that they're going to bring in
there just a lot of
business. There
seems to be this really just blinders on, this is what we wanted years ago. We're going to stay with it. We don't want any new information. We don't want to talk about the science of the issue. We're done talking about it. Let's just do what we agreed on years ago, even though it has been conclusively shown that things have changed.
It is so,
You're advocating for the more expensive plan. Dee Dee Smith is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.